Most of the major cities in northern Iraq are now in the hands of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. This could be a hindsight is 2020 moment. In 2002, James Fallows described one possible consequence of our impending invasion of Iraq as sewing a 51st star on the U.S. flag, making Iraq a possible 51st state. The national correspondent for The Atlantic joins us now. James Fallows, welcome back to the program.
John, nice to talk to you. Thanks.
Your 51st state analogy was a kind of maybe even more inflammatory notion of what Colin Powell said, if you break it, you buy it, that the dissolution of Iraq would be a U.S. responsibility should that come to pass. It seems to have come to pass. We're far short of making Iraq a 51st state. Your assessment of the current situation, though?
The current situation does look like an actual disaster with no good options for the United States. And what is what I think should be sobering for everybody involved is that almost everything that's happening now and has happened over the last 5 or 6 years was clearly foreseen by people who were experts in the region, people who had been involved in U.S. military occupations over the years, people who knew about the efficacy or lack thereof of military force in resolving political and ethnic problems before we went to war. So this is, it is on the one hand tremendously depressing and on the other hand even more depressing.
Now, people have said in the days since ISIS started having battlefield successes that the mistake was not intervening in Iraq. The mistake was intervening in Iraq and then not leaving and allowing some skeletal Iraqi force to manage things in the early going. Do you see any veracity, any plausibility to that scenario?
I think one of the things which is in the real world, again, additionally sobering about the situation, although intellectually convenient, is almost any analysis of mistakes is likely to be true. I think the fundamental mistake was the United States distracting itself from the fight against al-Qaeda in 2002 and invading to begin with. Once we made that fundamental mistake, it was allowing things to get out of hand, disbanding the army, allowing looting to take place, et cetera. And then it was just doing nothing as the years went on to prevent the kind of sectarian split that our invasion unleashed. So if anybody says answer X is the problem, they're likely right, because all of these steps along the way have been problems too.
And is it your analysis that if ISIS creates a sanctuary for a much more militant al-Qaeda in Iraq, that we can't even claim any success in Afghanistan, because al-Qaeda would probably prefer an Iraqi sanctuary than they would ever prefer an Afghan or Somali sanctuary, as was the case before 9/11?
It's hard for me to compare which of those is the less or more desirable situation, since they're both clearly undesirable. Iraq is a bigger country than Afghanistan. It has certain advantages for a militant extremist group if that becomes their operating point. I guess the thing which really strikes me now, dozen years since the United States began this adventure, is that we did open the proverbial Pandora's box of circumstances that we'll be dealing with for a very long time, including the sectarian divisions within the country, which had been held together through various strongmen, most recently the odious Saddam Hussein, and now are not able to be held together, and finding ways to minimize as opposed to correct the damage we expose ourselves to is the next task we have.
You know, some of the most expert Iraqi analysts in the CIA were saying before 2003 that the sectarian conflicts in Iraq are not the Balkans, that Shiites and Sunni is not a traditional enmity. They've been communities that have coexisted for time immemorial, and among educated Iraqis, there's a good bit of intermarriage. The idea that Iraq is going to fall apart is false. So we actually, by invading, created a new history in Iraq.
That is my understanding, too, and I never presented myself as a regional expert on Iraq. But in 2001, 2002, I spent a lot of time interviewing people who were. And what's happening now in the last few years is what is sort of the worst-course scenario that many of them were laying out, saying that for a very long time, the regional divisions within Iraq, which have been recognized from the Ottoman Empire and even before that, among the different religious groups and the Kurds in the north, there had been ways for people to coexist, but the dynamic dynamic we unleashed by the invasion and the sorts of governments we put in place accentuated what had been a tolerable balance before then. I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was tolerable as a leader, but I'm saying the balance among the components of Iraq for a long time had existed. It seems no longer to be a containable tripartite union. And again, this what we're seeing now is something that many people who were Iraq area specialists or historians were telling me 12 and 13 years ago they foresaw if we invaded.
James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.